Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello, everyone.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 58 is being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. Once again, we are broadcasting from rainy Lawrenceville, Georgia, this first weekend post-Easter 2020 amidst the coronavirus pandemic, COVID-19.
I'm so happy people listen to you on super speed.
Well, y'all told me I should talk slower.
People are like, okay, we're going to have to go 2.5 times now.
Yeah. So, do you know, did we push out last week's podcast via mass email to most of our clients or not?
We did not. We talked about it, but we have not done it.
Okay.
On the contrary, I've received probably 2 or 3 mass emails from other publications that are trying to promote their podcast. So I do think we should do it.
Okay. All right. So let's try to make that happen. Maybe we could push out last week's initially, even though we're a week behind. So did you, put you on the spot, we talked about doing something, posting something to Instagram. Did you do that last week?
No.
The week before.
You're not putting me on the spot because I have a reason.
Why?
I could do it directly from my phone or from my personal Instagram account that's linked to the People, Pets, and Vets account. Or what I'm really trying to do is getting it hooked up to our Genius Vets social dashboard so that I can schedule those things out. So like when we have a podcast today, I can do it. The reason I don't do it is I'm just not that social on those things anyways.
Right.
And so I have to do it after I remember, hey, our podcast went out. And then I have to go find the pictures or the things that we talked about. I mean, it's not difficult, but it's just not like, that is not what I find joy in doing. So if I can do it on the day that we record the podcast and schedule it for the next day to go out, I think it would be so much better and easier for me to do.
What were we going to send out last week? I don't even remember.
We weren't.
There was something, because I asked you, I feel like Monday, hey, did you send out? No, I hadn't done it yet.
You just asked me if I posted on Instagram.
Yeah, so anyway. All right, Georgia COVID-19 statistical update.
Maybe it was a case. I don't remember.
Something, yeah, it was. Over 687 deaths.
As of today.
As of today, which is Sunday the 19th. And over 18,000 reported positive cases.
So, as we've talked about these statistics before, this is not current positive. These are just those that, these people could
total
be better.
Yeah.
The 687 are also included in the 18,000, right? Like, because they obviously, order to die, they had to be positive. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I guess I have to tell myself to keep all these numbers into perspective. But there's not 18,307 positive people walking around in Georgia.
Right.
These are just the positive cases that have been tested. Granted, there are people walking around that haven't been tested.
Right. How many of those are positive unknowingly? And that's the thought process. There's probably a ton of them.
So, interesting situation, I guess, today. So, I got a text message from a doctor's office that I probably haven't been to in a really long time, at least since I established a primary healthcare physician. It's one of those like urgent care type facilities that don't necessarily have to take health insurance or that kind of thing. But I got a text message from them today saying that they are doing COVID-19 testing. And that they texted out a new number. Like, if you are a patient and you think you have these symptoms, call this number. So I thought that was interesting. So I'm assuming they're doing some private testing.
Yeah, I don't fully understand the entire hospital system, you know, and the private versus corporately owned and the contracts they have in place.
Yeah.
I do know there are a lot of contractual agreements, and I'm not really sure beyond that. You know, the parties and what the arrangement is. But I read today, this morning, that since the funding for the the SBA loans and the, which is the PPP and the economic impact loan, all of that funding, I think the president announced last, was it Thursday?
I don't know. Are you talking about how they said it was dried up?
Yeah, the $349 billion was gone. And so they are, as we speak, I understand, government entities, primarily Democrats and Republicans, are working on a new stimulus plan. I believe it's $500 billion additional dollars.
So this is going for large corporations and the small business, or this is just the small business funds?
But a huge part of this second round of funding is to help out the hospital systems. Reportedly, since they are only dealing with life-threatening emergency type of situations and COVID-19 patients, they are just losing money hand over fist because they're not doing any other elective procedures or things that they typically would. So they're really being impacted in many ways.
So what's interesting is, take it for what it is, and I obviously know that we have to deal with the coronavirus thing as a day-by-day thing and obviously put it above other things, but I think that there probably are a lot of other people with other health concerns that aren't being cared for probably appropriately. So I think I'm kind of interested in kind of down the road in the future, maybe documentaries or something that will come out that will really show us like all of this stuff. Like we're only seeing the front of what people want us to see, like what's happening in these hospitals with people who have cancer patients still being treated. Are they being turned away at the door? Are they being treated in other facilities? I don't know what other sort of life-threatening diseases within... You're messing with my sound. Why are you doing that?
Keep going.
What other people are... What are people suffering in the meantime while we're front-facing coronavirus? And I guess that every pandemic, like every time this ever happens in any century or wherever it's happening, that this is the same kind of thing that, that everyone is facing. But it's the same similar situation like I talked about with the puppies, right? So everyone's getting a puppy, but all of the normal steps that we're going through, like puppy training classes and socialization and all this other stuff, we're not necessarily doing. So that's kind of what in 12 months from now, we'll see on our side of the world, I think.
So I think if I'm understanding what you're, the point you're trying to make is, what is the fallout effect?
Yes, all the things slipping through the holes.
With the healthcare decisions that are being made today, the people that aren't able to be seen and treated, let's say you're a chronic diabetic or you need a lung transplant, you know, probably going to get your lung transplant, but if you had this cancerous mass on your lip, arm, leg, wherever, and they delay it 6 months removing it and it winds up being a malignant melanoma, there's going to be effects there. So,
certainly.
We're never going to know the true story there. I don't think. Maybe, as you said, some future Netflix documentary.
Yeah. I actually saw, and I don't know the truth to it, I saw a post on Facebook in one of those vet boards that I kind of follow that in some cities, veterinary professionals are being asked to help the human healthcare field.
Yeah.
To kind of step in on the front lines with them. I don't know in what capacity.
I don't know if it's volunteering, I think, is my understanding, because I don't know if we talked about it or we both read the same article, but they're not mandating that.
No, they're just asking.
Not like the National Guard, calling to the National Guard.
Yeah, no, they're just asking. I mean, it's the same thing in human healthcare facilities, right? Like, they've asked people from here in Georgia to go support New York. There's a girl who goes to my gym who's a respiratory therapist who has left here. She's out of work here, essentially, because where she was working is closed. But she has since gone to New York and is kind of on the front lines helping up there. So it's all volunteers, I think.
So one good thing, you know, our good friend Alan with Covetrus is a member of the Georgia National Guard.
He is, yep.
And so they being the National Guard, has not been called up. There's not been the need to establish martial law or anything such as that.
Yep.
And I wasn't truly super worried about it, but maybe a little concerned that some of those people were being asked to kind of ramp up and be ready, I think. So I'm pretty happy.
I do think that maybe not, you know, those frontline folks, but I do think like the National Guard was somewhat prepared to be called on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They weren't having troops
gathering and prepare. But they were being forewarned, I think, that, hey, if this gets more serious than it already is, then you may be called upon. So, yeah. Last week, I think we talked about how things in veterinary medicine come in threes.
We did.
With us here at Russell Ridge, it was torn ACLs. Saw three in the last week.
Pregnancy amongst our staff.
Pregnancy amongst our staff. Not again this week, but that was last week. We talked about that. And then Dr. Wanchick, who was our very special anniversary guest on episode 52, a couple of days ago, said he had seen three blocked tomcats. Or not tomcats, three blocked cats.
Male cats.
So it's just a weird phenomenon. I don't know if anybody will ever be able to explain that. Or if it really is a true phenomenon, or we just, like, our mind thinks that way.
I don't know.
We recall.
I don't know. I'm certain that there are times that just one happens, but it's not common that it's only two. You know what I mean? Like, it might happen as one, but it's not going to just come as two. It's going to come as three.
I think we don't think it's significant as a one or a two, but as a three, you're like, oh, that's the third one I've seen.
Well,
but if you see the fourth one, it's like, oh, that's the fourth one.
Not really.
The fourth ear disease, the fourth itchy patient, the fourth, fifth, sixth, eighth, tenth.
I guess you don't count all of those things, but that's interesting.
We mentioned hashtag GVA strong. I hope that we're going to put a nice video out this week.
For the Maybe GVA Strong?
Associated, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it already went out last week.
Who did it go to?
Facebook.
Okay.
The one that everybody you had the funky face when it first starts?
Yeah.
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 That was you.
So, I guess locally with me, I was supposed to be at my VMG meeting, my study group meeting this week, and it got canceled, obviously. And so this past Friday evening, we had a Zoom meeting. And
Zoom, Zoom, Zoom.
Everybody is super familiar with Zoom at this point. One of the major platforms, I guess, to have a
Yeah, I think they get a lot of talk. But, I mean, there's tons of other ones, right? Like team meetings, WebEx.
WebEx, yeah. But they're at the forefront of most people's minds, I think. So, I felt like I was watching the beginning of the Brady Bunch, because we
everyone's
had,
in their little tiles.
We did not have everybody present, but there were at one point 18 tiles.
Did you take a picture?
I did.
Oh, I knew it.
I did. Took a picture of it, and it was really funny. I've noticed this on other webinars I've been listening to or watching over the last 3 weeks. There, you can tell when people are texting each other. So like tile one and tile seven. You know, you can see tile one look down away from the camera and shoot something. And then you look over and tile seven picks up, you know, their phone. Apparently they look down, they start giggling.
Oh,
and then number one again starts laughing. And it's just hilarious. Like you can tell absolutely what's going on.
Huh.
We voted on a couple of things. We just raised our hand and, you know, had a quorum, and it was pretty cool. So
very cool.
I guess what that led me into wanting to discuss is kind of on a positive note, COVID-19, very bad. We know there's not a lot of good going on right now, but I do think in the future there will be some good that comes from this pandemic. And the main thing that I see is related to technology.
Sure.
And humans.
Sure.
So, technology, telemedicine, telehealth.
So we were going to talk about telemedicine, telehealth, that kind of thing. At the end of our last podcast, you were going to make telemedicine or tele the word of the week.
The word of the week.
I think we somewhat spoiled it last week because I think we talked about it anyways.
Yeah, so tele means distant.
Mm-hmm, or far.
You said television, telemedicine, telehealth, teleconsult. Those are all big words in our vocabulary these days. Televisit versus a virtual visit is kind of where we've gone. We are kind of using the phrasing virtual exam room visits as we're bringing clients into our exam room via a telehealth platform. And virtual is really more related to computer assisted.
Yeah.
So, I don't remember where I was going with that thought last week or before, but I do think people who are who have been traveling overseas or even just even locally, we're going to get a little more efficient in using these
for sure
virtual meetings.
For sure. So interesting. It's kind of not the same as like visiting with your family, but my family had a Zoom call. My mom and dad thought it would be fun. So we did the same thing, kind of Brady Bunchy, and there were a bunch of little tiles, and we had at one point, I think 8 different, family members on the call. Kind of fun. We didn't really have anything to say. It's very different than a meeting because I've been to Zoom meetings, and, usually there's a meeting that has a presenter and it's right. very organized and everyone else kind of sits quietly. Whereas like when you're family Zooming,
everybody's talking at the same time.
Everyone's talking. Yeah. And so Zoom has, a capability of like it knows who's speaking, like where the sound is coming from. So it usually puts a green box around the mm-hmm. speaker. Or if you have it on a different setting, it will just put that person in front of you. But it's just crazy.
Meeting, it does that, yeah.
Yeah. So, well, no, it does it for everybody. Huh. It's just a different setting. So you can look at the quadrants or the tiles of people, or you can put it on like right. I only want to see the speaker. But it's just crazy because like the tiles like skip around and because everyone's talking or there's a ton of background noise because someone has the TV on and then some kid's crying and so it was fun and interesting. But
it is the struggles of a Zoom meeting, right?
Yeah.
So if everybody has their microphone on, you hear, you know, the chuckle, the kid crying in the background,
the wind noise from the car, everything.
During our meeting, it was kind of hilarious. The leader of the meeting, the facilitator, at one point spoke up and said, "Can everybody please turn your, you know, please mute yourself because we're hearing a lot of background noise and it sounds like somebody just passed gas." And so on my screen, Rick from
Grand Rapids
was like to my right. And so I just spoke up and said, "Yeah, it was this guy." And I pointed to Rick. And then Carla from Savannah spoke in and said, "Oh, that's funny, Brad, because on my screen, it's Michelle."
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of hilarious. So there's,
it is funny.
There's a lot of, when you try to find
quirks.
Something funny or good in the world, it's not that hard to find something that's interesting.
Yeah.
So, but anyway,
to your point, I do think we're all going to use it a little bit more.
So
I think.
Our study group, we're going to probably meet again in 2 weeks,
mm-hmm.
10 days. And then we all really enjoyed it and not having to wait 6 months to see each other. So I do think we will start, having, you know, more frequent communications using these types of platforms.
Yeah.
I think, social distancing that we're experiencing now is ultimately going to be a good thing. I don't think we can always stay 6 feet apart, nor do we need to,
mm-hmm.
but I think making people aware, we have people come into our exam rooms, people being clients, and we're having a conversation. They just start with this productive, moist cough right in our face, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they think nothing of it. So
yeah.
maybe we're going to be a little more aware of spreading disease amongst ourselves. Humanity was on my list. Like, is there a difference between a human being and being human? So we kind
yes.
of forget about that at times. But I know personally, I feel like people have been much nicer and more polite to each other. And it's made the people who aren't out in the world these days stick out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is, you know, "No, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. Oh, you dropped this. Oh, sir," you know, I think everybody's trying to be very helpful, much more so than when we were in our hustle bustle of life maybe a month ago.
Well, I do. I think it's forced people to be grateful and to not take things for granted and, you know, myself included, right? Like, I don't know. How do I explain this? From everything to where you pick up your phone and you're like, "Oh, I'm going to take a vacation in 3 months," you know, and you just start looking and you can book a plane ticket and whatever. It's not going to be that way.
Right.
It already isn't that way. You can't just, "I'm bored on a Saturday afternoon. Let's go to the mall."
Yeah.
There's nothing
or
at the mall.
Let's watch some live sports. Or...
Yeah, there's no sports. So I do think we're missing some of those connections. And so Lance's little brother, Ryan, actually posted something earlier when all this kind of stuff happened. It's not that he misses baseball or he misses football, but he misses the community and the connections that he was making at those baseball games or the friends that he was with when he went to sporting events. And so those things I do think that we are missing, but I don't necessarily think that that has negatively affected our humanity.
Yeah. And for better or worse, families are forced to spend more time together.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it's for the betterment. Friends, if they're within your inner circle and you know, you were, I guess, exposed to each other going into this, we've definitely preached, you know, try to have a closed environment at home and at work.
Right.
So that you're not being exposed to new people. But yeah, I don't know. I guess the last thing along those lines is, I don't know if we've talked about it or not, but, you know, retaining our employees and trying to be there for them during this time, whether it's an emotional time for them or financially, they need to make sure that they can make ends meet. We've really tried to show them that they are super valuable to us. And I also feel like they feel very valuable to the pet parents and the pets and the community, that they are doing a lot of good. And, you know, we've got this. We're here to take care of you. And I really do think they are, for the most part, kind of stepping up and very proud of what they do as individuals and as a team.
Well, I think not everybody has probably had the privilege of having similar conversations like that with you specifically, but I know you, as being the practice owner, I am very fortunate that you're still allowing us the same opportunities to work here and to earn the same things that we were earning, and that we've not really had to sacrifice a ton. But I know that you have shared with me before, like pre-COVID, in other situations, that you are super, you feel obligated to all of your staff. Everyone who works here, you feel obligated to continue to be able to provide for them. And I think that definitely shows in times like this. And I think everyone is feeling that, versus historically, it was only one person who had a hard situation who would bring it to your attention. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Whereas I think now everyone is like, oh, wow.
I do.
And they can appreciate it a little bit more.
And I appreciate you saying that, because I am not overtly involved in most of my employees' lives. I do care about them, but I don't care enough to get in. It's not care.
It's not care.
I don't want to get involved
yeah.
in the particulars of their life, because it'll influence maybe the way I look at them and they look at me. And it's not really my place. But again, I do feel obligated to provide them a safe, healthy, financially stable workplace and job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just not, you know, going to ask them, oh, what'd you do all weekend? And that's just not me. So anyway.
Well, that being said, you're also not like totally cold and turned off to people.
Well,
we do discuss these things. But anyways.
So a couple of news stories I pulled, and then I think we can sign off. I don't know that I found anything super interesting from the Smart Brief.
Well, I think the top one's pretty interesting. You and I kind of chuckled about that, but it's kind of a real thing.
Yeah. So was it a week ago or so, a week to 10 days ago, somebody came out with a report that ivermectin might be very beneficial as a drug to effectively get rid of coronavirus.
Mm-hmm.
Ivermectin is in many of our heartworm preventatives for dogs and cats, actually, at very low levels. And so the FDA and the AVMA has come out warning people to not take pet medications.
They've literally had to do. So I saw this originally in Michigan, right? So if everyone doesn't know, I still have, I went to school in Michigan. I have a few friends and family still back there. And the Michigan Humane Society is the one who I saw kind of posted at first, like, and it kind of caught me off guard, but they're like, please don't take your pet's meds. And I was like, oh, you know, people sometimes will take like anti-anxiety medications or maybe pain medications that are prescribed to their pet. Obviously, we don't want that to happen either. But when I clicked on it and I saw that they were taking heartworm prevention, I kind of chuckled. But then I thought it was very real. Like, these people are scared. That's the only explanation I can come up with, is that they're scared and they feel like this is a treatment and it's cost effective. They've already paid for it, but it's so.
But there were no dosing recommendations, and so it goes both ways. Don't take your pet's meds. Don't give your pet your meds. But ivermectin in particular, the dosing range on that particular drug, from heartworm prevention to treating, say, Sarcoptes mange, there are thousand-fold differences in some of these doses. And so I thought it was interesting as well. But, yeah, just don't take your pet's meds, and don't give your pet your meds.
Yeah, so I thought it was really funny. I actually reached out to one of the drug reps who rep one of these ivermectin products for pets, and I asked her, I'm like, have you guys heard of this? Are you making statements? No, it was Aaron with BI. And she was like, ha ha ha, like, literally, yeah, we've heard about this. I don't think that they've formally made a statement, but... if you're BI and you make a heart guard or a heartworm product, and people start taking it, like, just imagine the liability, right? Like, it was probably always there, but like labeled, now, I mean, like, oh my God. There's got to be
warnings. And
they've got to come out with something.
It is a beef flavored chew. But anyway.
Nice side hustle. Just kidding. Last totally story kidding. Do not sell your
that
pets
I thought meds. Was interesting was the fact that there are dogs that are, I think they're attempting to train them to detect coronavirus.
I've heard about this.
Carriers. And so it's kind of, I didn't know that dogs have been trained to detect malaria in people until I read the article.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I did not know that. But I know there are seizure dogs. There are drug and bomb sniffing dogs. Cancer. Super interesting. We talked about this with maybe on episode 10 way back when. We ran across an article and said, oh, we need to get somebody on board to kind of educate us and learn more about that, because I don't know a whole lot about it. But that's super cool, and that would be kind of weird if you're at the airport and, you know, they have the dogs a lot of times walking between people who are lined up in the aisles that are taped off.
Oh, yeah.
So if a dog ran up to you and, like, alerted on you, you wouldn't know, do you have malaria? Do you have coronavirus? Do you have a bomb on you? Or did somebody slip drugs in your back pocket? You'd have no idea until they pulled you aside in the little room and do whatever they do to you in those little rooms.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Crazy.
All right. Anything else on your end?
No, I was just going to mention that... obviously, this is, what, the fifth week now we've talked to coronavirus on our podcast.
10th.
Yeah. So I was listening to the radio, and I listened to Sirius XM. I barely ever listen to local radio stations. It's always XM radio. And a new song came on, and it was talking about quarantine, and it was an Alec Benjamin song. And so I looked at Lance, and I was like, this is crazy. Are people, like, writing songs, and they're, like, just pushing them out as fast as they can? And I really think they are. I looked at the release date for his song, and it's called 6 Feet Apart, and it was April 10th.
Huh.
So I don't know when he started working on that song. Maybe he was working on it for the whole cystic fibrosis thing and kind of keeping your distance that way, and then they just kind of pushed it out, and it came out now. But it now reads and it seems like he wrote it.
I
and
bet it's current, yeah.
Pushed it out instantly to be, and I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know if I'm happy for it, or, like, that he can capitalize on it, or if I'm, like,
so
kind of shame on these people.
I think they're doing it in the here and now because everybody's homebound and nothing else to do. And the reason I say that is 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the big... I was going to say benefit, but the big concert post 9/11 where they had all the stars on and they're singing their songs, and some of them were so spot on with what we were going through.
No, I don't remember that.
It's
probably because I wasn't very, like, keyed into that kind of thing. I was in 10th grade, 11th grade when 9/11 hit. When that happened.
So I can't even think. There's one song, and I'm definitely not going to try to sing it, the lyrics, but it's the guy playing the piano. Anyway, regardless, there were a dozen songs on this show that were very much like you could completely relate to what was
just
going on.
Just pulling at the emotions.
But they had been written months, even years ahead of time.
Gotcha.
Not Julio Iglesias. Who's the other little Iglesias? Enrique.
Enrique.
He had a song on there. I can't hero, I think it was.
Oh yeah.
You know, seemed very much in the moment, like, man, this is for this time. Mm-hmm. He didn't write it 7 days before.
For that time, yeah.
So anyway, we digressed a little bit there. But,
yeah, for sure.
So last night there was a network TV show on One Health,
I watched 5 minutes of it.
I watched 5 minutes and went to something else. My brother Alan today said, well, yeah, at least Michelle Obama gave a shout out to the veterinarians. I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah, she thanked all the first responders and the healthcare workers, including veterinarians.
So did you know, actually, so my sister was talking about this earlier. So she got upset.
Okay.
Her feelings hurt. Her whatever. So Glossier is a online, like, makeup product company, and she orders from them often. Well, they basically were offering free hand creams for all those first-line people who are nurses and doctors. And she was like, this is so wrong because all the veterinarians, the technicians, all those people that work at Kroger and whatever, like, how come they're not considered first-line as well?
Huh.
And so I thought that was interesting that she felt that way. But what I was going to mention is that Dunkin' Donuts is offering discounts to all first-line people, and veterinarians are on that list as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Probably all you have to do is be able to spell veterinarian to prove that you're in the field.
Well,
maybe. I don't know.
Is it spell it or say it? We've had this comment before.
Veterinary. Veterinary.
Yeah.
So anyway.
All right, guys. Check in next week as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow us on Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets, and I promise I will post something very soon, if not today, for tomorrow. Follow our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our blogs on our website at mygvet.com. Please subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening. And if you are getting it from our website, drop us a line. Remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
Bye, everyone. Stay safe.